choice which one I should deliver. Should I speak about the significance of Yerushalayim Al Pi Din? Should I speak about the history of Eretz Yisrael from the beginning of the Chumash days? Should I speak about the nature of the Yontif on Yom Ha'atzmaut?
History
since Bereshis. Okay. Is it quarter after? Okay. In the Beis Hamikdash, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, there is a stone that's called the Evan Shesiyah. The Mishneh Yuma says that during the period of the second Beis Hamikdash, the Aron HaBris with the Luchas was not there. Yoshiah Melech was going as the Luchas, that's a pasuk in Divrei Hayamim, he was going as the Luchas towards the end of the period of the Beis Rishon, and he placed it in a location in the basement. It's very unclear there in Divrei Hayamim. The pasuk gives a reason, and the reason is very unclear, so the Netziv has a long essay about that in the Hakdama to his commentary on the Shiltas to explain what's going on. During the Beis Sheni period, there's a question where the Luchas were. Where was the Aron with the Luchas? The Gemara in Yuma has three different opinions. But anyway, the Aron with the Luchas was not there in the Kodesh HaKadosh. So the Mishnah says when the Kangoro would do the Hazoras Adam, he would be Zerik in front of the Evan Shesiyah. What is the Evan Shesiyah? Why is it called Evan Shesiyah? So the Gemara says there in Yuma, around afternoon days, so Shemisham Nishtas HaOlam, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu first created the Evan Shesiyah, and the whole rest of the world expanded from there. That was the first part of the Briyas HaOlam. Rashi in his commentary Achumish quotes from the Gemara that when Adam Rishon was created, it says, Vayikach Ofer Minho Adoma. Where's the Ofer Minho Adoma? Where's the Adoma? So Rashi quotes the Medrash that in Mizbach Adoma Tasavim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took Ofer from the Mokam HaMizbeach to create Adam Rishon, Halavai Shetehe Lo Kapor. The whole significance of Adam Rishon as opposed to the other parts of the Bria, the other animals, is that Adam Rishon has Bechira Chavshis. And he's held responsible for his mitzvahs and for his averis. He gets schar v'yadish because he has b'chira chavshis. So man can sin. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Ofer min Adam. He created Adam with the ability to do tshuva. That was built in. Before Briyas HaOlam, the tshuva was built into the world that it's possible to do tshuva. The Gemara says that Kiddushin, the Gemara says, Eretz Yisrael gevayim mikol ha'arotz es Yerushalayim gevayim mikol Eretz Yisrael. When the brothers of Yosef are traveling back and forth from Mitzrayim to Eretz Canaan, so when they leave Eretz Yisrael, it's called Vayerdu Acha Yosef Asa, they're going down, Yored, and when they go back to Eretz Yisrael, it says Vayalu, they're going up. That's called Aliyah, Yored, and Oled, opposites. So that's the indication that Eretz Yisrael Gevoy Mikol HaRotz is based on that pasuk. In what sense Eretz Yisrael Gevoy Mikol HaRotz is the Swiss Alps are a higher location above sea level than all of Eretz Yisrael. What do you mean Yerushalayim Gevoyim Mikol Eretz Yisrael? It's not true. The Gemara knows that Ein Itim is taller than Yerushalayim. David HaMelech originally thought to build the Beis HaMikdosh in Ein Itim until he consulted the Navi. And the Navi said, no, don't build the Beis HaMikdosh in the highest location in Eretz Yisrael. Go down a little bit. So how does the Gemara say Eretz Yisrael Gevoyim Mikol HaRotzes? In Navi, in Yecheskel, Eretz Yisrael is called Tabur HaOretz, the belly button. Like a person is lying on his back, so the belly sticks up. So it all sticks up higher than other places in the world. It's just not true. So the Baal HaMor and Rosh Hashanah and Daf Chof and the base explains what this is all about. There's a very difficult Gemara in Rosh Hashanah and Daf Chof and the base. Rashi and Tosfos is very difficult. So the Baal HaMor and another six Rishonim, I think, give a different shot than the Gemara. And that's where the Chazon Ish has the whole Kuntres Yud Chesh Shoes to explain how the Baal HaMor read the Gemara. The Gemara is talking about the issue of the international dateline. You keep on going east, so Shabbos comes earlier. You keep on going west, Shabbos is an hour later. So you're going to come to a point, these people traveled east, so by them Shabbos is earlier, by them Shabbos is later. So there has to be some point where you draw the line, you say, I can't. You don't keep on going further. So where is that international dateline? So the Baal HaMor learns Pshat Baal HaMor, and another six Rishonim learn Pshat in the Gemara, that the Gemara knew that the earth is a globe, and a globe you have two hemispheres, so we usually divide the upper hemisphere and the lower hemisphere. Upper hemisphere, let's say, above the equator and below the equator. Or you can divide it the western hemisphere, the western world, and the communist world, whatever. So the Baal HaMor understands in the Gemara that there are two hemispheres, Eretz Yisrael is in the center of one of the two hemispheres. Whenever you have a globe, you can hold whatever you want on top. You can hold the North Pole on top. You can hold the South Pole on top. I was born in Scranton. You can hold Scranton on top. You can hold on top whatever you want. So the Gemara says, when the Rebbe Shalom created the world, Eretz Yisrael with Yerushalayim is on top. That's what it means, Geloi Mikol HaRotzes. When the world was created, Eretz Yisrael was on top, and Yerushalayim was on top of Manta. That's what it means, Yerushalayim Geloi Mikol HaRotzes. Doesn't mean above sea level. It means when the world was created. The Vayinaf Kamina was on top, covered. What's an afkamina? What's on top? So an afkamina is the international dateline. If Eretz Yerushalayim were on top, so then Vahiyered, Vahiloiker, the first place where there was Seisa Kacham was 90 degrees to the east of Yerushalayim. That's the dateline. That's the international dateline, Al-Pidin, that cuts through Korea and cuts through Australia. That's, and then it's a question, do you say this part of Korea is Friday, that part of Korea is Shabbos, and half of, two-thirds of Australia to the east of the dateline, one-third is to the west of the dateline. So you say the miut is nigger after the rub, so all of Australia has the earlier date. But you say no, the Chazanish holds no, that the east is nigger after the west, because the Iker hemisphere is the hemisphere that has Eretz Yisrael in it, the hemisphere that has Yerushalayim in it. So the western tip, the western one-third of Australia, is in the more important hemisphere, so the two-thirds to the east of the dateline are nigger after the west. That's what the Chazanish paskins, and others say no, that to the east of the dateline is Friday, and to the west of the dateline is Shabbos, on the same landmass. That's what the Chazanish doesn't like them. So that's the issue of the international dateline. That's based on Briyas HaOlam. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, Yerushalayim was on top of the upper hemisphere, and therefore the dateline is 90 degrees to the east of Yerushalayim. On the occasion of the Mabul, there were no walls separating Eretz Yisrael from the rest of the world, but the Gemara understands that the Mabul did not affect Eretz Yisrael. The whole Mabul was a miracle. There isn't so much water in the whole wide world. The Chachamim knew that there's a water cycle. The water keeps on going up and down, around and around. The Gemara in Tainus understands that. There isn't so much water in the world that it should go 15 amas above the highest mountain. But the whole thing was a miracle. So part of the miracle was that the Mabul didn't affect Eretz Yisrael. You read later in the end of Parshas Noach that Terach Avi Avram was an Oved Avodah Zarah. He starts out to leave his hometown to move to Eretz Canaan. Why did he want to move to Eretz Canaan? So this Sfarno suggests Pshat that the Mabul didn't affect Eretz Canaan. So the air was fresher and there weren't dead bodies all over the place and it was healthier there. So a lot of people were moving to Eretz Yisrael. Others say that he was in search of Ruchnias, that he felt that Eretz Yisrael is more, the word was that Eretz Yisrael has more Ruchnias than the rest of the world. Whatever it is, that's what it says in the end of Parshas Noach. The Terach started to go, he didn't go all the way. He started to leave his hometown and to move to Eretz Yisrael. Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Avraham Avinu, Kol Nisalach Baretz L'Orcha L'Rochbo Ki L'Cho Etinena. What was that all about? That Avraham Avinu should walk around the borders of Eretz Yisrael. Was that a promise? Kadosh Baruch Hu promises that he's going to give in the future, in the distant future, when Yeshua ben Nun will conquer Eretz Yisrael. Kadosh Baruch Hu is promising Avraham Avinu that he's going to give his descendants Eretz Yisrael. Once the significance of walking around the borders, that'll be Nocha Lekovesh, that's a Rashi quotes. It'll be easy to conquer, just like going for a stroll, walking around the borders, or does it mean Noki? Doesn't mean in the distant future, he's promising. I'm giving Eretz Yisrael right now, and walking around the borders constituted a Kinyan Chazakah. So that's how the Gemara says in Bava Basra. Walking around the borders was the Kinyan Chazakah, and Avraham Avinu acquired ownership of Eretz Yisrael at that time. There's even a Machlokes Satanaim. Was that only a Chazakah as a Hayrasha once in the history of the world? Or was that a Kinyan Chazakah L'Doros? That if I sell you a Pardes, and I tell you walk around the borders, that will constitute a kinyan chazakah, and you will acquire ownership. So we paskin, no, we paskin, it's only a hayrua shor. The Gemara has, in Perikei Shnoichelin, the Gemara has one Tana, interprets the story of Benoit Salofchad, what exactly was the suffix. So the women's lib people interpret the suffix the way the simple reading of the Pasuk is, that they wanted women's rights, that if there are no sons, the women should, if there are sons and daughters, so they're not upset, so the sons get the Yerusha. They were not upset about that. But if there are no sons, that the daughter shouldn't get the Yerusha at all. It should go to the next, only to the males. The female shouldn't get it at all. That's what they were upset about. So they were told that when no sons, that the daughters do get the Yerusha. That's a simple pshat in the pasuk. So one Tana says that was never under question. They all knew that. That din was given already previously. That if there are sons and daughters, the sons get, the daughters don't get. When there are no sons, then the daughters get. That they knew. The suffix was that Slavchad ben Chefer was a b'chor to his father Chefer. He was the oldest. He should be entitled to Pishnayim, a double portion. And the din is that the b'chor only gets Pishnayim, u'chala she'yimotze lo b'muchzak v'lo b'ra'ui. Whatever assets the father had at the time of his death, so the b'chor gets a double portion. What if the father bought a ticket on a lottery, and he wins the lottery after he died? So then the b'chor gets an equal share to everybody else. He doesn't get Pishnayim. That's called ra'ui. He doesn't get a double share on the row, he only gets a double share on the muchzak. So the question that Benoit Salafchad were asking Moshe Rabbeinu was, their father Salafchad died, and they knew that they're getting Yerusha. So what did Salafchad had? He had a sukkah. Everybody had a sukkah in the Midbar. He had Bezos Mitzrayim, had Bezos Hayam, whatever. He knocked on the next door neighbor's doors. He took clothing, jewelry, whatever, pots and pans, and then they took Bezos Hayam, whatever they had. So they had a suitcase full of possessions, and that's the whole thing. So they got the Yerusha from the father, and the father got the Yerusha from his father, and that's all. What about the share in Eretz Yisrael? Chefer got, Avram Avinu got Eretz Yisrael. He died and went to Yitzchak. He died and went to Yaakov. He died and went to the descendants. So did Eretz Yisrael already belong to Avram Avinu? That was Muchzok. And therefore, Tzlofchad is entitled to Pishnayim in the Karka of Chefer. Or maybe I should say, no, that was a promise. HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised, Kilucho Etenenu, walk around the borders in the distant future, I will give you Eretz Yisrael, but they didn't acquire ownership of Eretz Yisrael till the days of Kibush Haaretz, till the days of Yishuv Ben Nun. So that's how one Tana interprets the suffix. The Menoi Slavchad raised the question, are they entitled to Pishnayim, and the Chelik of their, do they get Pishnayim, that Slavchad should get a double portion in Eretz Yisrael? And the Maskana was, yes, Noson Titein. And where did the Tana get that idea from, that the question was on the Pishnayim? Because it says, Noson Titein Lehem Achuzas Nachalot. The Kei Poloshin is a reference to the Pishnayim. So that was the answer. Eretz Yisrael mechuzakasei me'avaseim imoyis Avraham Avinu. Eretz Yisrael belonged to Avraham Avinu when he walked around the borders that constituted the Kinyan Chazokah. That was the Maskana. Yishuv ben Nun conquered Eretz Yisrael. It took Sheva Shekovshel. It took 7 years to conquer the land. That's what it says in Novi, in the Sefer Yoshua. Why did it take so long? Because there were Lamed Aleph Malachim. It says in Tanakh, there were 31 kings. Eretz Yisrael is the central location that connects together Europe, Asia, and Africa. And politically, it's a crucial location. That's why the Nazis in the Second World War wanted to gain control of Eretz Yisrael. Whoever has control of that area can have more control over Europe, Asia, and Africa. That's when the Nazis started to lose the war. When they started to bomb Eretz Yisrael, they wanted to take over. So Yishuv ben Nun, it took 7 years to conquer Eretz Yisrael. That's in Tanakh. Then the Gemara says it took another 7 years to divide the land. There was Sheva Shekovshu and Sheva Shechilka. They had it divided among the Shvatim, among the Mishpachas, and among the Yechidim. And the Kedusha Saretz was not completed until the 14 years were up. So the Rambam points out, based on the Gemara, the first Shemitah was the 21st year after they crossed over the Yarden, and the first Yovel was the 64th year, because the first 14 years didn't count. Eretz Yisrael didn't have Kedusha yet. Kedusha was only completed after the Sheva Shekovshu and the Sheva Shechilka. Sheva Shekovshu says in Tanakh. Sheva Shechilka, the Gemara says, we have an oral historical tradition that was the story. And that's called Kedusha Bishoina. Yehoshua ben Nun accomplished Kedusha Bishoina. Tosfos in Yevamos quotes the Rabbeinu Hananel, has a whole different understanding. It says Kedusha Bishoina was in the days of Avram Avinu, and Kedusha Shniyah was in the days of Yehoshua ben Nun. So Tosfos says it's all incorrect. Usually we place a lot of emphasis on what the Rabbein Chananel has to say. Here Tosfos says it cannot be correct. The Kedusha Bishoina, the Eretz Yisrael didn't have Kedusha yet till the days of Yishuv Ben Nun, after the Sheva Shekovshu and the Sheva Shechilku. The Kedusha Shniya was when Ezra came back after the 7 years of Golus Babas. So Ezra was Mekadosh Eretz Yisrael the second time around. So the Gemara has a machlokes hatanoim in different mesichtes. the Kedusha Sa'aretz that was accomplished by Yeshua ben Nun, did that last even after the Churban Ha'aretz and the Churban Habayis or not? Do you say Kitchalos Ilova, the Kedusha remained, or Kitchalos Ilova? The Gemara in many different Masechtas assumes that it equates the Shilas, where the Kedusha Sa'aretz remained after the Churban and Kedusha Samigdush remained. One of the Gemara says in Megillah Dafyud, where the Gemara assumes that it's the same. And then there's a Taisus on Dafyud and Aleph and Megillah. This goes to Rab Chaim Cohen, who was a Talmud of the Rabbi Natan. And he says that it's not necessarily Toli Zebizet, there's room to split between the two. And you say, you can say the Kedusha Sa'aretz was Batla and the Kedusha Samigdash was led Batla. That's in fact the Rambam's opinion. The Rambam in Hilchos Beis HaBchira is of the opinion that at the time of Churban Ha'aretz, when the Babylonian armies took over Eretz Yisrael, at the end of the Bais Rishon period, so the Kedusha Sa'aretz was Batla, but the Kedusha Samigdash, because of the Hashvas HaShchina, so the Kedusha Samigdash remained Kitchalos Ilovet. The Ravid disagrees with the Rambam, and he holds just the opposite direction. The Ravid thinks that the Kedusha Samigdash was Batla when the first Bais Hamigdash was Chorev, the Kedusha Samigdash was Batla. When the second Bais Hamigdash was Chorev, the Kedusha Samigdash was Batla. And even though we pass in Kedusha Vishayna, Kedusha Sa'aretz that was created by Yeshua ben Nun through the Shebesh HaKavshu and the Shebesh HaChilke, even though we assume that that Kedusha Sa'aretz was Batla, but the Kedusha Shnia over Eretz Yisrael that was accomplished by Ezra, that was Lai Batla. Most of the Rishayna assume like that. Kedusha Shnia was Lai Batla. The Bir Agra in Yerideh and Shin Lamed Aleph quotes from the Sefer HaTruma that he has a unique sheet. He holds that even Kedusha Shnia was Batla. That at the time of Churban Bais Sheni, the whole Kedusha Sa'aretz was Batla. Beis HaLevi discusses, there's a Rashi in Sanhedrin in the third paragraph. Rashi interprets the Pesach of the Gemara like that. Maybe Rashi agrees with the Sefer HaTruma. They're two different Svarim. You shouldn't confuse the two. One is Sefer HaTruma and one is Sefer HaTrumos. Sefer HaTruma is a Baba Taisus, the Rabbeinu Baruch. The author of the Sefer HaTruma, it reads like a kid to Shulchan Aruch. But every so often, he gives a new sheet. Taisus in Zvachan quotes Rabbi Nebarach from the Sefer HaTruma. He reads Mavashah Kedek Klipa, that's Rabbi Nebarach. Every so often, I quote Rabbi Nebarach. Then there's another Sefer HaTrumos that was written by a Talmud of the Ramban. Not at all. Sefer HaTruma is a regular Bala Taisus. Sefer HaTrumos, big chunks of Chashim Mishpat are based on the Sefer HaTrumos. Stories and Adrachtas and all kinds of things. So the Sefer HaTrumos is a Talmud of the Ramban. I read my Talmud Ramban. He's going to quote the Ravids that we don't have any other source for. He quotes a lot of Svardish Rishonim. So this is in the Sefer HaTrumos. So the Ravid is of the opinion that Bezban Hazeh, Kedusha Shnia was led Batla, Eretz Yisrael retains its Kedusha, but the Mokam HaMikdash, the Kedusha was Batla, just in reverse from the Ramban. Ram holds during the 7 years of Golas Babel, there was no Kedusha Sa'aretz, but there was a Kedusha Makam HaMikdash. There was a Beis HaMikdash in Chutz La'aretz. Eretz Yisrael didn't have Kedusha, so the Beis HaMikdash had Kedusha, even though it didn't have Kedusha Sa'aretz. Like in the Midbar, there was a Mishkan traveling around in Chutz La'aretz. So it's possible to have Kedusha HaMikdash in Inchu without Kedusha Sa'aretz. And the Ravid holds the reverse, that after the Churban Bais Sheni, the Kedusha Sa'aretz did remain. Kedusha Shnei Kitcha Lasidovai. And the Kedusha HaMikdash disappeared, vanished into thin air. Yeah, why should we assume that the Rambam explains why the Kedusha Rishayna was Batla and Kedusha Shnia not? So he explains why. Why should you distinguish? So he says, because the Kedusha Rishayna was accomplished by Kibush Mechiluk. So it took 7 years, 7 years to conquer Eretz Yisrael and 7 years to divide Eretz Yisrael. So the dividing was the Gemara of the Kibush. So since the Kedusha Sa'aretz rested on the Kibush, so once the Babylonian armies undid the Kibush, so that undid the Kedusha. That's how the Rambam explains in Hilchos Beis HaBchira. But the Kedusha Shnia did not rest on Kibush at all. There was no independent Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael until the time of the Hashmonai. After the Churban Bais Rishon, there was no Jewish government, so there was no Kibush. And there was Kedusha before the days of the Hashmonai. That's what the Rambam says. The Kedusha was accomplished in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah with something other than Kibush. He coins the expression, Adei Chazaka. Whatever that means, that's unclear. Adei Chazaka. So the Rambam says that's why the Kedusha Sa'aretz, the second time around, was Lei Batla, because it wasn't resting on Kibush. But the Kedusha is Hamikdash, the Rambam says that's based on Shechina. So the Shechina is not going to disappear. So the Rambam thinks the Kedusha is Hamikdash always remained. From the time that Shlomo HaMelech built the Bais Rishon, the Kedusha is Hamikdash remained. Why does the Ravid think that the Kedusha is Hamikdash was Batlos? So the Ravid and the Ramban both hold the same. Ramban and Shavuos in the Melchamas on the Rif. They both say the same thing, that the Kedusha is Hamikdash was Batla, but for two different reasons. The Ravid says because when Shlomo HaMelech built the first place on Hamikdash, he knew that it was Asid Lehechorib. They already were told that at the time of the Chet HaMeraglim. In the Chumash, it doesn't say it that explicitly, but it's explicit in Yecheskel and in Tehillim. It says Beferish that at the time of the Chet HaMeraglim, they were told, that's how the Gemara says, Atem b'chisim b'chiyah shalchinam, ani yakra b'chan b'chiyah l'doiris. So they were told at the time of the Chet HaMeraglim, when you're going to go to Eretz Yisrael, you're going to build a Beis HaMikdash, it's going to be destroyed and you will be sent into Golus. And then, so when Shlomo HaMelech built the first Beis HaMikdash, he knew that it was Asid Lehechorev. So the Ravid says, when he built it, he only had a mind to be Mekadosh it for as long as it'll last, because he knew it was not going to be an everlasting Beis HaMikdash. Then Shlomo HaMelech said, Baruch HaKodesh, what's going to be with the second Beis HaMikdash that will be built at some later day? Will that be the everlasting Beis HaMikdash, or will that one also be doomed to destruction? So he said in Shir HaShirim, M'chaymohi nidna aleha tiras kesev in delisi, notzu alalu achore. So the Gemara in Yuma, in the first parak, has an additional level of interpretation in that pasuk. M'chaymohi means m'yalu kachaymohi. If at the end of the 7 years of Golus Bavel, all the Jews will return back to Eretz Yisrael, all the several million Jews will return back to Eretz Yisrael, then Nivna Leha Tiras Kesef. Then the second Beis HaMikdash will be like a metal structure, and metal doesn't rot. Ein harekev sholet bo. Rot doesn't apply to metal. Wood rots away. In Delisi, if it will be a shvach aliyah, dalasam, hardly anybody will return at the end of the 7 years of Golus Bavel, then that's why the other is, it'll be like a wooden bungalow, like a wooden hut. So just like wooden buildings right away, so too the second Beis HaMikdash will right away. So what happened, Libesov? So Ezra built this, Ezra was involved in completing the building of the second Beis HaMikdash. So he knew from day number one that it's also Lehechare, because the Psukim say only something like 43,000 Jews came back from Bavel. There were millions of Jews living in Bavel. Hardly anybody came back, so he understood. Based on the Ruach HaKodesh that Shlomo HaMelech said in Delisi, not so Allah Luach is that the second Beis HaMikdash is going to rot away. So that's what the Ravid writes, Yadei Ohaya Ezra, the Ravid in Perek Vav in Beis HaBchir, Yadei Ohaya Ezra, Ezra knew from day number one that the Bais Sheni is also Lehechorib, the same way Shlomo HaMelech knew from day number one the Bais Rishon is also Lehechorib. So just like Shlomo HaMelech was on the Mekadoshet Lizman, what is going to gain by me Mekadoshet forever? He won't be able to bring karbonas there, so it's only Mekadoshet for the 410 years that it lasted. So too, Ezra, who was involved in being Mekadosh, the second Beis HaMikdash, Yedei Ohay Ezra, Shasya Lechorish, it was only Mekadoshet Lizman. The Ramban thinks Allah HaLamayisa the same as the Ravid, that the Mokam HaMikdash is Loikit Shalosilo, but for a different reason. The Ravid's explanation is questionable, because there is a sugi in the Dorim, on Daf Lamed, that when you endow something with Kedusha, the Kedusha can't vanish into thin air. Kedusha is Hagluf Leipaka Bechdi. There's a discussion in the Gemara there. A man is Mekadosh and Isha. He does know whether the marriage will work out or not. So he says, I'll be Mekadosh and sleep for a year. Then at the end of the year, we'll see. So if it works out well, so he'll give her another ring. At the end, he'll be Mekadosh for the next 5 years. You see, year by year. And if it doesn't work out, so they'll just walk away from each other. He's on Mekadosh for a year. So Gemara says he can't do that. Just like if you're Magdush a Korban, you say, this should be a Korban Oila only for 30 days. And if I'm not Makrif it within 30 days, it should not be a Korban Oila. So the Gemara says, you can't do that. Kedusha Aguf like Paka Bechdi. It can't just vanish into thin air. So the same thing, Kedusha Isha cannot vanish into thin air. There's a very strange discussion in the Knesset Sagdoilo and Ebenezer. Knesset Sagdoilo is a Likut of all the Achreinim. So Beis Yosef lived in the middle of 1500s, and Beis Yosef made a likut on the tour of all the Rishonim and all the Achronim that he had available at that time. And then after the passage of time, so there's a need for a bigger likut. So the Knesset Sagdala wrote, Knesset Sagdala means he gathered together all the Achronim who lived after the Beis Yosef, or those that the Beis Yosef didn't quote, and he made a likut. And then you need a century later, you need another Likud. So you have the Chidor wrote his. There are always Likutim on the tour. So the Knesset HaGdol in the end of Ben Ezra has this Shaila in Hilchas Chalitza. A man was Mekadosh and Isha for 30 days. He died in the middle of 30 days. They didn't have a chance to have any children. So the Shaila is, does she need Chalitza or not? If you maybe just wait 30 days and then the Kedushin of the man will disappear, vanish into thin air. So there won't be any need for Chalitza. And he ignores totally the whole Gemara in the door. So he forgot the Gemara in the door. That if you Mekadosh and Isha for 30 days, so he writes a whole tshuva, halacha l'maisa. He doesn't refer you to that gemara. So the Ravid's explanation is questionable. What the Ravid writes, Yedeya haya Ezra. Ezra knew from the days of Shlomo HaMelech, and Shlomo HaMelech knew from the days of the Techet HaMeraglim, that the Beis HaMikdash Rishon is also lechorv, Beis Sheni is also lechorv. So that when they built it, they were only mekadesh et l'zman. That's questionable. Can you do that? Is there such a thing as being mekadesh Lizman, the Mokam HaMikdash? Maybe it doesn't exist. There's what the Dingzach with the Ravid. So the Ramban doesn't say like the Ravid. He says differently. He quotes the Gemara in Avodah Zarah and Daf Nun Beis. But the Gemara says the Chashmonaim had to make a new Mizbech. Why? Because the old Mizbech was used for Avodah Zarah purposes. So the Gemara says there were different rooms in the Beis Sheni. So one of the rooms, one of the Lishkas, had the Avne HaMizbech from the old Mizbech, Sheshiktsum Anshe Yovan. The Yevonim used it for either the Yevonim, the non-Jews, or the Misyavnim, or the Jews who were worshipping Avodah Zarah. They used it for Avodah Zarah purposes, and it was Yotzei L'chulin, and you're not allowed to use it anymore. So the Chashmonaim had to make a new Mizbech. The Gemara said, what do you mean? You come to my house and you bow down to the furniture, it becomes Asavah. No, don't we have a rule? So Akanei Aseret. So the Gemara says they found a pasuk in Yecheskel that says a bobo preitzim chilalu. A nevuah. Yecheskel Hanavi says when the preitzim come in, they use it for Avodah Zarah. It's yotzei l'chulin, and therefore they can ask, who are the preitzim? Who are the preitzim who used it for Avodah Zarah? So that's a machloek is the Balamor in the Ramban. So the Balamor claims that it's preitzim Yisrael, the misyavnim, the Jews who worshipped Avodah Zarah, who used the Mizbech for Avodah Zarah purposes. The Goyim who used it for Avodah Zarah is Ein Anamosa Dovah Shein Shaloi. They couldn't be Mapkiv, they couldn't be Motzi L'chulim. But the Misyavnim, the Jews who used the Mizbech for Avodah Zarah purposes, they were the ones who were Motzi L'chulim. The Ramban disagrees with that Balamar, that's an Avodah Zarah Daf Nun Beis. And he says, no, Bova Pritzi means Pritzi Akum. When the Goyim used the Beis HaMikdosh, the money in the Beis HaMikdosh, the Mizbech in the Beis HaMikdosh, whatever. So the Ramban says, not only the money of the Beis HaMikdosh, the Gemara says, there was a fortune of money in the Beis Sheni, then after the Churban Bayis, all the money was used by the Roman soldiers for secular purposes. So the Gemara asks, how can the Jewish people use any of that money? It's a taruva. Some of the money is Hekdosh. Some of the money that everybody's using in the marketplace was from the Beis HaMikdosh. So the Gemara says, it's okay, it was Yotzei L'chulin. Boba preached in the Chilu. The money was Yotzei L'chulin. The Mizbech was Yotzei L'chulin. Everything was Yotzei L'chulin. So the Ramban has a Chiddush. Not only money is Yotzei L'chulin, not only Mizbech, tangible objects, even a location, a latitude and a longitude. There's nothing there. Just this location on the globe that has Kedushas, Mokam HaMikdosh, the Mokam is also Yotzei L'chulin. That's a Chiddush. Based on the Pasuk, Uboba Pritzim Chilulu. So, Alocha Lamaisa, the Ramban and the Ravid say the same thing, that there's no Kedushas Mokam HaMikdosh, it's Loi Kitcha Losi Loi. Eretz Yisrael does have Kedusha today. According to them, Kedusha Shnia was Loi Batla, but the Kedushas HaMikdosh was Batla, but for two different reasons. The Ravid thinks that Yedeo HaYezu Sha'aser Abayz Lehechorev, so it's only the Kaddushit Lizman, calls man that it's going to be Minyone. And the Ramban says differently, not Yedeo HaYezu, but rather, Oboba Pritzi Mechilalu. After the First World War, I think it was the countries who won the war, took over different areas on the globe. So the British took over a big chunk of the Middle East. And then under pressure, the British declared the Balfour Declaration, so they promised they're going to give Palestine to the Jewish people. So at that time, Rav Kook considered the Balfour Declaration as racist. the Hungarian rabbis always, at that time, were tining for years against Rabbi Cook. Where did he come up with this new idea that there's a schalta de geula, there's a geula and there's a schalta de geula? So he said, either you have geula, you don't have geula. Who says that there's such a thing as a schalta de geula? So the answer is, Rabbi Cook didn't invent the term. The term appears in the Gemara. For those who learn Gemara, it's a Gemara in Sanhedrin, a Gemara in Megillah. For those who study Zohar, they say it appears very often in Zohar. I'm not familiar, but I know the Gemara. In the Gemara it says that the Muhammads are Aschalta de Gula. Yeah, which Muhammads are Aschalta de Gula? So the Chasam Sofer lived in the 1800s, and there were always wars in the world. So there was some kind of Austro-Prussian war that the city Pressburg was bombed in the middle of that war, so the Chasam Sofer kept a diary. He has a lot of Divrei Torah, a lot of drushes in his diary. He writes some history also in the diary. So he writes, he considered this war an Aschalta de Gula. Because the Gemara says all wars are Aschalta de Gula. The question was, maybe we should be mispal, maybe we should be Geuze Tainas to be mispal to our Kodesh Bocha that the war should end. Because Jewish people were losing their lives. The world was being destroyed. So he says, no, we shouldn't slow down the Gula process. All wars in the world, he assumed, are Aschalta de Gula. And the same is the Minchas Aluza was the Minkacher. So during the he didn't live so long to see the Second World War. He lived through the First World War. So there was a discussion at the time of the First World War. Maybe the Rabbanu should be going to Tainus, and everybody should fast that the war should end and save all the lives. So he quotes, he was a Hungarian, so he quotes the Chasam Sofer, who was a rabbi in Hungary. Sofer was not a Hungarian, he was a Yekke. He was born in Frankfurt. And he always signs off all of his tshuvas, Moshe HaKotmi Frankfurt. But he was a rabbi in Hungary. So he, so the Minchas Aluzer, in his tshuva, quotes the diary of the Chasam Sofer, which is available in print. You can get it in the library. That the Chasam Sofer said that Austro-Prussian war was Aschalta de Gula. So he says, the Muhammad here, this First World War is Aschalta de Gula, and you're not allowed to pray that the war should end. Because if you pray the war should end, then you're slowing down the Gula process, you're not allowed to do that. The Pashtus is not like the Chasam Sofer, not like the Minchas Aluzer. Rashi on the Gemara says not like that. He said, not every war in the world is Aschalta de Gula. Rashi says, the wars over who will be the Balabas over Eretz Yisrael. That's Aschalta de Gula. That's a Shabbat. It depends who wins the war. If the Jews lose the war, then it's not Aschalta Gula. But if the Jews win the wars, it means we're on our way to building a Beis HaMikdash. What does it mean, Geula? What does Geula mean? So the Ramban, in his Hakdamet to Chumash Shmos, and all the old Mikros Gedolos, all the old Chumashim, by mistake they printed the Hakdamet to Shmos at the end of Aichi, the end of Bereshis. And in the new Chumashim, they were nice enough to print the Hakdamet to Shmos in the beginning of Parsha Shmos. The Ramban writes that the first Sefer in Bereshit, first Sefer Chamisha Chumash Torah, is all about all the beginning of the world, the beginning of mankind, the beginning of the Jewish people. And then the second Sefer in Chumash Sefer Shmos is about the first Golus and the Geula therefrom. So then the Ramban asks, but you don't get to the Geula till Sefer Yoshua, because Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't permitted to enter Eretz Yisrael. So how does he say that Sefer Shmos has the first Golus, Mitzrayim, and the Gula therefrom? So he says, no, the Gula, the main tragedy of the Golus, it's a tragedy that we left Eretz Yisrael, okay? But the main tragedy is that we're missing Soda Laka Alei Ohaleihem. Ramban writes, he paraphrases an expression in Sefer Iyov. When we had the Hashuas HaShchina, that was wonderful. And when we went into Golus Mitzrayim, we were lacking Soda Laka Alei Olam. We didn't have the Hashuas HaShchina. When you get to the end of Chumash Mos, and you read about Truma Tetzava by Yaakov Pikudei, the building of the Mishkan, and the Hashuas HaShchina was in the Mishkan, so that's called Geula. Even though you're living in Chutz Lord, that's called, if you have a Beis HaMikdash, that's called Geula. That's what the Chazanish said when they established the Medina. So he said, this is the end of the Golus, but we don't yet have the Geula. So people thought that it was double talk, Chazanish. Didn't say double talk. Chazanish was a very intelligent person. He has beautiful svar and beautiful style Hebrew. What he meant was, the Geula means when you build a Beis HaMikdash, like the Ramban says. So it's the end of the Golus. Now we're all free to move to Eretz Yisrael. The British are not preventing the Jews to move to Eretz Yisrael. We have our own Medina. but it's not yet the Gula because we don't have a Beis Hamikdash yet. The Jews were pressuring the British to already fulfill their promise that they should. They promised at Balfour Declaration they're going to give Palestine to the Jews. So they finally said that they're giving up their British mandate at midnight. Hey, Eir in 1948 was Erev Shabbos. And Shabbos was Vavim. So the British said, they're giving up their mandate, they're giving everything, they're not going to be the Balabatam anymore, Friday night at midnight. So some of the people who signed the declaration of the Hakamas HaMedina were Shomer Shabbos. It's unfortunate that some of the others were not. So they didn't want to be Michal Shabbos to sign a declaration of a Medina on Leil Shabbos. So they signed in a Heir, but it wasn't really legal. It wasn't really legitimate because the British still had their mandate on Palestine until midnight on Friday night. So that's why some think that we should really celebrate Yom Ha'atzmaut on Vav Iyar. The war began right away, though. The Arabs started the war right away on Friday. They didn't wait till midnight. They started right away before it became illegal. So the Mechamas are Aschal to the Geula. The Chasam Sofer has two tshuvas, one after the other, in the Chelek Yerideya, about celebrating Lag BaOmer. So in the first tshuva, he quotes the Gemara Rosh Hashanah with the interpretation of the Pri Chodesh, that there's an issue of Bal Tosef. If a Beis Din will want to introduce a new Yontif that's going to be observed by the Jews all over the world, that's a Shaila Bal Tosef. He's writing out to the Amir Tovim in the Chumash. So the Gemara says, but if it corresponds to the rules and regulations of Megillas Tainus, then it's okay. Then there's no violation of Bal Tosef. What are the rules and regulations of Megillas Tainus? It's very unclear. So that's what you have to look in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, the basis of Megillas Tainus is something that has to do with the Beis HaMikdash. If you complete the building of the Beis HaMikdash, you improve the structure, you improve the Hakrovas HaKarbanis, you improve institutions in the Beis HaMikdash. Either you improve the institution of the Kuhuna Gdola, or you improve the institution of the Sanhedrin, or the institution of the Karbanis, whatever, or the observance of Shavuos, or Machzas HaShekel. So then you celebrate a Yontif. And so the Achreinim Es Kakasha, how did the Chachamim have the right to establish Purim in the first place? The Gemara says, if Yeshua occurs at the time that there's no Beis HaMikdash, you have no right to establish a Yontif, and the Pri Chodesh interprets that it's a violation of Bal Tosef. So the Gemara's tradition was that Purim was established towards the end of the 70 years of Golas Babel. There was no Bais Sheni. There was no Beis HaMikdash at all. Bais Rishon was Chorev years before, 65 years before, and Bais Sheni wasn't built yet. You got to have the right to establish a Yontif in the first place. That's where that. So the Achrayim all give the same answer. They felt that this was Aschalta de Geula. They felt that this was going to lead towards the building of the Beis HaMikdash. So the Nesibis, who wrote on Chashim Mishpat, the Nesibis, he wrote other Svarim as well. So he has a commentary on Megillas Esther called, it's in the regular Mikros Kedolos Chumash, that's called Megillas Storim. So he writes in Megillas Storim that the Chachamim at the time of Purim thought that this was going to be an Aschalta de Geula, and that's why they established it as a full-blown Yontif with the Nisan Malacha. And then he interprets in the Gemara, and they realize that it's not so. They realize that they made a mistake after a few years, so they canceled the Nisan Malacha in order not to violate this din of Bal Tosef. That's what he says. So how did they have the right to make a Yontif in the first place, if it turns out that they made a mistake? So apparently you don't have to have a Novi, you don't need a Ruach HaKodesh. If it looks, if the politicians, if the Rabbanim, who know little politics, think that this is going to be Aschalta de Geula, does he have a right to make a Yontif? If it turns out that it was wrong, it's wrong, so it will be Mevatel Yontif. But you see, you don't have to have an Ovi. He thinks that they made a mistake. Other Mefarshim said they didn't make a mistake. It was Aschalta de Geula. And the reason why they canceled this in Malacha, most of the Mefarshim said because they saw it's Gzeirah Shein Rei Batzi B'Yecholim Lamed Bo. They saw it's just too difficult. Another day you can't go to work. Another day you're going to lose Parnos. So, in the first place, the reason why they established the Medina in Hei Ir was because of Chilul Shabbos. So that's why in recent years, because if Yom Ha'atzmaut will be on a Sunday, or if it will be on a Sunday, then the day before they observe Yom HaZikaron. So a lot of people go to the cemeteries to visit their relatives who were killed in the Milchamas. So if you'll observe Yom Ha'atzmaut on a Sunday, or even on a Monday, since Sunday is going to be Yom HaZikaron, a lot of people will drive into Yerushalayim late Shabbos afternoon. So because of Chilul Shabbos considerations, so that's why the Rabbanut and Eretz Yisrael moved the observance of Yom Ha'atzmaut always as far away from Shabbos as possible, to avoid Chilul Shabbos, because the whole reason why they established Hay Year was because they didn't want to be Mechal Shabbos. It was really Vav Year. They didn't want to be Mechal Shabbos to sign the declaration of the Medina, so they signed it when it wasn't yet legal the day before. But if observance of Hay Year because Chilul Shabbos, they observe on Vav Year. That's the day that the Medina legally was really established. Does that mean because in Eretz Yisrael there's a problem of Chilul Shabbos? In America we don't have such a problem of Chilul Shabbos. Everybody in the world has to observe on the same day. So not necessarily. You take a look in Maseches Megillah, in the back of the Vilna edition of Maseches Megillah, Dab de Horus of Rav Shlomo Vilna. He was a dayan in Vilna. He was the younger brother of Rabbi Tzal Vilna. He was the Magia on the Vilna Shas. He used to be a Rebbe here in the Yeshiva, Rabbi Markelis. He taught in Gemara here in the Yeshiva. He was a descendant from Rav Shlomo Vilna. So he told the students that the family tradition had it that Rav Shlomo Vilna was the Magia. He corrected the galleys for the printing of the Vilna Shas from memory. He didn't have to look back at another. He knew all the Gemara Rashi Tosfos by heart. So he checked everything from memory. So every so often, the back of the Gemara, Cheshek Shlomo will explain why he put this in parentheses, why he put that in brackets. He's the one who put the parentheses and the brackets into the Gemara. So you look at the first Cheshek Shlomo, Amaseches Megillah. So he says, why did the Chachamim make two different days? You Dalet for the Bnei HaProzim and you in Tezvav for the Ayoros HaMakof HaShchaimah. So he says, if you have a real din min haTorah, so you want to have chukachas yelachem, torachas yelachem, mishpatech yelachem, the same din. Everybody observes the same. But here it's a din derabbanon. Purim is a din derabbanon. So they nothing wrong with having two different days. Adarab, we want to show that it's not a din deraisa. So it's not that we're insulting the Rabbanut, those who want to observe Yom Ha'atzmaut. And hey, we're not insulting the Rabbanut. The Rabbanut says in Eretz Yisrael there's a concern of Chilul Shabbos, so they should observe Yom Ha'atzmaut on Vav Year. Okay, in America there's no concern, so we can observe on Hay Year. And Shulchan Aruch says that Aseres Mitzvah is the season of Yomim Noraim. We quote from the Vilna Gaon that the season of Yomim Noraim starts from Rosh Chodesh Elul till Simchas Torah. They quote that there's a Sefer Maaser Rav has Hanhagas of the Vilna Gaon. Someone published another Maaser Rav Achodesh. There's no contradiction, written by someone else. Some of the things are the same, and some of the things are additional things, different things about the Vilna Gaon. So in the Maaser Rav Achodesh, they have that the Dayan in Vilna, during the lifetime of the Vilna Gaon, had a dream that one of the Balabatim came to him in a dream. One of the Balabatim passed away, came to him in a dream, and he sees that he's suffering in Gehenna. So he says, but you were always an observant Jew. How come you suffer in Gehenna? What other did they punish you for? He says, Ribbis. So he says, Ribbis? But didn't you always make a heteriska? He says, yeah, the Bezon Shalmata holds from the heteriska. Bezon Shalmata doesn't hold from the heteriska. So but he's suffering again because of heteriska. So the Dayan told over the dream to different people. So because of that, so the Vilna Gaon, years later, would tell people they should always avoid heteriska. If you have no choice, you got no choice, okay? But at least in Yom HaNaroyim, from Mishchodesh Elul to Leftis and Chastor, you shouldn't rely on heteriska. Well, so whenever Yom HaNaroyim is, whatever the season of the year is, so it says in the Shulchan Aruch that you have to be careful, you shouldn't put anybody in Cherem. Even if a person deserves to be punished by being put in Cherem, you shouldn't put him in Cherem during the season of Yom HaNaroyim. And Shulchan Aruch says, Aseres Meitshuvah. So then, the Achrayim have a list of additional days where you have to be careful. Also, in a certain sense, Yom HaNaroyim. So they give a Mekubalim, give a list of days. No one knows what in the world these days correspond to. So on that list, they have Hay Year. They don't have Vav Year. They don't have Chav Ches Year. They have Hay Year. So apparently, centuries before HaKamas HaMedina, Mekubalim saw that there's something special about this day. I used to be very friendly with Rabbi Mala Galinsky. He used to head the American program in Shalavim for many years. He used to work here in New York for many years at the Jewish Agency. When he lived in America, he used to be the one who would be sending the students to Eretz Yisrael for the years learning in between high school and college. He was a Talmid Chacham. So he lived in Givat Shaul for a while. So he told us that he had an acquaintance in the neighborhood, a friend of his, who was a descendant from a Chassidish Rebbe, and he had a manuscript from the Chassidish Rebbe from the early 1800s. And this acquaintance says, I have a manuscript, I can't print it. The people will say that it's a forgery, because this Chassidish Rebbe wrote 200 years ago that when the Dor HaMidbar died out and they went to heaven, so Rabbi Shalom said he's going to punish them because they didn't want to go to Eretz Yisrael. So he writes a whole story. How does he know the story? He says that they were pleading with the Ribbono Shel Olam, he should allow them to come back to this world in a Gilgal, in a different body, that they should be able to be misaken the Avera that they did. So the Ribbono Shel Olam was arguing back and forth. He's not going to let them go. They argue back and forth. Finally, Ribbono Shel Olam gives in to them and he says, I'll let you come back in a Gilgal to be misaken the sin that you did, but on one condition, that you only do that one mitzvah. Of building up Eretz Yisrael. How can a person have even dreamt of such a wild idea that there are people in this world who only do one mitzvah, building up Eretz Yisrael? That's unfortunately, that was the secular Zionists. They built up Eretz Yisrael, they didn't believe in anything. They were anti-religious, they wanted to establish a Medina to replace the religion, instead of the religion. So that's what this fellow in Givat Shaul said, afraid to print the manuscript. The people will say that he made up a Baba Maisa. That is not true. But that's what Mal Galinsky told me. He showed it then. He has this ksav yad from his Elter Seder from years ago. There's a lot to celebrate. You boys were born into a world that already had Medina, already had a Kaisel HaMaravi. It wasn't so. I was born into a world that had no Medina. And at that time, the Hakamas and the establishment of Medina was mamish anes. No one in their right mind thought that is going to happen. Rav Soloveitchik said he used to travel when he was in university in Berlin. He used to travel to Vilna to talk and learning with Rav Chaim Moiser. Rav Chaim Moiser was not only a goyin in learning and in psak, he was a goyin in politics as well. So he, on one occasion, he was talking to him about the aguda in the conventions and the knesiyas were discussing the possibility of establishing a Medina in Palestine. So he said, Rabbi Chaim Moshe said, when hair will grow on the palm of my hand, that's when there'll be a Medina. It's the furthest thing from the possibility. When the Medina was established in the United Nations, Harry Truman and Russia, they both concurred. They say Harry Truman changed his mind the next week. He never visited Eretz Yisrael. He had charote. Why? And that was the only thing that Russia and America ever agreed upon. People say that was the only thing. Rav Soloveitchik used to say, others said that was the only thing that was valuable of the whole establishment of the United Nations. The only thing positive they ever accomplished was that they both approved the Hakamas HaMedina. The thing wasn't to be believed. The thing, Hakamas HaMedina was not to be believed. And the victory in the Mohammed Sheshet HaYamim was also not to be believed. The whole thing was Lamai Lamin Ateva. The American generals say it's impossible to understand, but Derech HaTeva, how the Israelis won the war. The Mohammed Sheshet, the whole thing. You people were born into a world, there already is a Medina, there's a Kaisel HaMaravi, it's all there, but you should realize everything was with Nisi Nisi. Okay. Have a good Niyanta.
According to the Raya and Ramban, that's the